Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
We are here to talk about pit soccer. Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a brand new episode of Olympic Gold and Blue right here on the Pit Talk Network. I am Corey Cohen, and we are going to be talking pit soccer yet again with Dom Campbell. Dom, thank you so much for joining us. You can find Dom all over Pittsburgh Soccer Now. You might have heard him this past weekend on our episode of Panthers Preview, Panthers Pathway, with Austin Bechtold. Dom Campbell, thank you so much for hopping back on Olympic Gold and Blue.
Glad to be here, Corey.
So we are so excited to be talking more about Pitt soccer. We're going to start off with Pitt men's soccer. So at the moment, Pitt men's soccer is 4-3-2 overall. They are 1-1-1 in the ACC. Right now, they are a little bit outside of the top 25. If you look at also receiving votes, they're about 31st in the nation when it comes to rankings. Not exactly where they wanted to be, talking how they performed the last couple of years, but let's talk about some of their recent games, specifically in the conference. They had a huge win in early September against ninth-ranked Wake Forest. That was a 3-0 victory. It was dominant. Then they sort of slipped up. They had a draw at Boston College and then against a very tough Syracuse Orange team on the road, seventh-ranked Syracuse. They lost 3-2. So from your perspective, Dom, what can we make of what we've seen thus far from Pitt men's soccer?
Well, that win against Wake Forest is really big because they just lost previously to Marshall 3-1 at home in a game in which they didn't do too badly, but Marshall are a very good team and they will take advantage of any mistakes that you have. So that Wake Forest game, the first win ever for Pitt against Wake Forest, and obviously a big win for head coach Jay Vidovich, as he coached at Wake Forest for a considerable amount of time, I think at least 21 seasons, and won a national title there in 2007. So a big win for Jay to get a win against his old team, and a great way to start the ACC season, obviously, for Pitt with a win at home. And then, yeah, they drew 0-0 with Boston College on the road. I guess not the best result, but I guess you take that over a loss, and then we get into the Syracuse game and things just all went wrong in that game. And you had two red cards on the team. You had Michael Sullivan received two yellow cards. So that's obviously a suspension. And then Rafael Silly, the right back, French right back that just came, stepped on somebody. I don't know, accidentally or purposefully, but yeah, you're going to get red carded regardless. I think it was kind of an accident, but he might've been a little angry. Yes, they were both out the previous game on Monday, which we'll get into, but yeah, not a good game. And then someone on the bench got red carded as well. So not a very good way to end that game. Even though there were good moments in that game, Louis Samkow scored a nice goal. But yeah, I mean, 1-1-1. Probably would rather have two wins or something like that. But I mean, they're playing really good teams. Syracuse are the reigning national champions. They are a serious program. So they did pretty decently considering they went down to 9 men against the reigning national champs last Friday night. So,
yeah, all things considered, again, you look at two of those performances against Wake Forest, against Syracuse, the team has looked really good. As you mentioned, that game against Marshall, which, side note, sort of a tangent, how on earth, we talk about recruiting and program strength and stuff like that. How on earth is it that the two top teams in men's soccer are in West Virginia? Marshall's number one and West Virginia's number two. How did that happen? I mean, I don't, from everything that I've gathered, it's not like West Virginia suddenly became a fertile recruiting ground for soccer. Like, there are a bunch of high school soccer stars coming out of West Virginia. How did it happen? These two programs are at the top of the country right now.
Well, I wish I knew more, Corey, but we do know that Marshall did win the national title in that COVID year in 2020-21, where they played both in the fall and the spring. So obviously a big win for them there. There's a few Riverhounds players from that Marshall team as well. So and Pitt has one of the Marshall players that we'll get into as well soon enough. We talk about the Denver game on Monday. But, I mean, yeah, I don't know why. I mean, it wasn't like West Virginia was that great last season, but – they've been winning a lot of games, and right now the rankings are kind of teams that win most of their games regardless of the teams they're playing, it seems.
Yeah, we'll see how that pans out moving forward, but yeah, it's just wild to me that Marshall and West Virginia are at the top of the college soccer, the men's college soccer world. It's pretty amazing. So let's talk about Pitt's most recent game, and that is on Monday night. They played Denver, a team that is ranked 19th in the country. Fans might be surprised that Denver, you talk about Marshall, that Denver is ranked 19th in the country, but that's a really good team. They've gotten so much better lately when it comes to their Olympic sports, specifically soccer. And that's a very good team. They came into Pittsburgh and Pitt beat DU 3-1 on Monday. What did you see from the Panthers in that game?
They were just really solid. Like we said, I mean, you have Michael Sullivan and Raphael Silly being suspended. That's two starters right there. And there's some other injuries that Jay spoke to me about. Just players were not available. You're down like 3-4 starters. You don't expect to do so well against a team like Denver, but they really just bossed the game. There were hardly any chances Denver had outside of that goal they gave up, which was, to be fair, a good corner kick and a really nice header at the back post. But for the most part, Pitt hardly allowed any serious chances. Cabral Carter, the goalkeeper, wasn't really tested. It was really interesting to see because Denver are a good team. And if you're wondering why Pitt plays Denver so often, Jamie Franks is a former player under Jay Vidovich at Wake Forest. He's been head coach of Denver for 8 seasons now. So obviously coming from under the Jay Vidovich tree to some extent, you know, you're going to have some good coaches since he is one. But in terms of the game overall, I mean, Pitt just played really well. I thought they were really good with their passing. They dominated the game overall. And we have to mention Jao Souza, who was a member of that national title Marshall team. He transferred in the season to grad transfer, Brazilian midfielder, very, very talented, and just scored really nice goals. The first goal, a back heel. If you haven't seen the replay of that, very, very nice finish from him. Yeah, off a really, really well-worked goal by the team. I mean, you have a really good pass to Morania, who just inside of his foot, gets to Noah Hall. Noah Hall really fast on the right side. Gets in and just puts in a little cross. And then Souza told me, you know, I had to put a back heel on it. I wouldn't have scored. So he does that. And you're already up 1-0 in the third minute. And then 14th minute, he makes a really good run. And Filip Markovic, who we'll get to in a second, just put an incredible pass as he's done throughout his Pitt career. And you're already up 2-0 in the 14th minute. Denver did score soon after that. So I thought it might be a bit more of a cagey affair, a bit more of a back and forth game. But really, it was kind of a tad boring. It just wasn't very interesting for the most part. Denver really hardly put up a fight, a bit different than a year ago in that 2-2 draw that I thought was very good. But I mean, hey, Pitt will take that win. And then the third goal was another really well-worked goal between Santiago Ferreira. He runs down the field, then he gets it right onto the left wing to Eben McIntyre, who puts it a little cross in for Albert Thorsten, who all he has to do is just hit it with his left foot. And that's a goal. I mean, just really, really, really good passing. And that's exactly what you want to see out of a Pitt team. That's what Jay told me he really liked seeing, because if you can pass like that, you can dominate the ball in the possession, not just having it, but using it to score really quickly, even in games where you're not, well, it wasn't the most exciting game, I suppose, but the 4 goals, I mean, you'd think it would be, but they did what they need to do and they got the win. It's a really good response after a disappointing result against Syracuse on Friday.
Absolutely, yeah. You would think that after that Syracuse game that they were motivated, they were hungry, they wanted to bounce back, and they had a tough game coming up with this ranked Denver team. And to win, not just win, but win comfortably and have it not be really close, I mean, that's a really nice step for this team, that they're able to bounce back well after two disappointing performances. And I'll say also, for me personally, I was happy because my mom went to Denver. And so any chance that Pitt could play Denver and then Pitt could beat Denver, I get some bragging rights. So that was certainly fun. You mentioned a player that's been with the program for a while, Filip Mrkovic, who is incredibly talented. You mentioned he assisted on that goal for Sousa. What has he meant to this team, this program over his years, and how's he looked so far this season to you?
Well, last season he had 12 assists, which is the most ever in Pitt history. I think it was one of the best in the NCAA as well last season. He's so technical on the ball, just incredible ball control, and his ability to just put passes anywhere and find his teammates is exactly why he's probably one of the best players ever in Pitt history and one of the best players in the country. He really is just such a good player. And last night, that assist he had is his 26, which ties the program record. So, I mean, when they play Friday night against North Carolina at home, if you go to the game, you might see the program breaking assist. He might break that assist record, and that'll be his, and rightfully so. He's been brilliant since he's come here, since he's joined the program in the 2020. So, I mean, this is exactly who we want, from exactly what he deserves. He's just been such an important part over these years with different midfielders and different players. He's been able to find them and create chances. And last season and now this season, he truly has shown himself to be one of the leaders, if not the leader on the team in terms of the midfield. So he's done exactly what he needs to do. And he's going to be a big part of this team if they want to go back to another College Cup appearance like they did last season.
Absolutely, yeah. Just an incredible player last year, named All-ACC, and certainly orchestrating that midfield for the Panthers. So let's talk about the upcoming games for Pitt. You mentioned Friday. They've got North Carolina at home. Coming up after that, they've got Virginia Tech also at home. Then in mid-October, they'll head on the road to Charlottesville at Virginia, a team that's possibly ranked. It's interesting, North Carolina, at the present moment, we know them for being a top-flight school when it comes to not just basketball, but Olympic sports. This year, it's been interesting. They actually haven't lost a game, but they do have three draws. They're not ranked at the moment. What do you make of the upcoming games for the Pitt men's soccer team?
Well, it's the ACC. It's a grind, as Jay would tell me. I mean, they're going to have some really important games. I think their most important games are probably Duke and Notre Dame towards the end of the season. But it's amazing that we're almost towards the end of the regular season. I mean,
yeah, it's wild.
We'll be done with the regular season. Then we have the ACC tournament, and then we'll have, I'm assuming, as long as Pitt doesn't completely blow their season, which I don't think they will, the NCAA tournament as well. So they got some great teams coming up. I think that Duquesne matchup at home is exciting. I mean, obviously you want to see good soccer in Western Pennsylvania, and having two teams in the city play each other in the city game on October 17th and that Tuesday at Ambrose and Bannock Field would be a great matchup. Because Duquesne did pretty good last year, and they're still pretty decent this season. So I'm excited to see that. And yeah, the ACC is really good. I think I would be interested to see if they can be a little bit better in the ACC going forward. Because last year they kind of had an ending in the regular season. They drew a few games. They didn't really win a lot of games. They didn't lose many, but they weren't really winning a lot. And I think if this team wants to separate itself from last season, they got to be a bit more clinical in the final third and just sort of get onto the front foot and score goals early. I mean, again, on Monday night, they scored two goals in the first 15 minutes, and that's how you win games. You set yourself up well and you do well initially, and that allows you to dominate the game going forward and control how you want the game to go forward, as long as you're a good team, which obviously this Pitt team is.
Yeah, without a doubt, a good team. One thing that they've been trying to accomplish has been winning that ACC championship tournament. What do you think their odds are this year? Obviously, we talked about the ACC being stacked. Now, it is very early because we haven't seen them yet play those big games like you talked about, Duke, Notre Dame. So we don't really know. But in another year where the ACC is incredible, especially at the top, what are Pitt's odds? We figure that they'll make it into the tournament, but what are their odds when it comes to just the ACC and being able to win that conference?
I think it depends on how healthy they stay. I mean, their injuries are a bit fleeting. They're not really any season-ending injuries for the most part. Like, it's Guilherme Feitosa is a really important player. He hasn't played recently. He suffered injury, I think, against Marshall, I believe, and he's been out for a few games. So he's just trying to get back. He saw him practicing yesterday or against before the Denver game. Didn't play, but encouraging signs that he'll come back at some point this season. Luis Samcao is their number nine, their striker. They like to have him up top. He's very, very talented. Very good from the penalty spot, but did score a few goals this past week against Fairleigh Dickinson, the last week against Fairleigh Dickinson and then Syracuse as well. So you want to see him score an open play. And if those two guys can stay healthy, and I mean, the rest of the team too. I mean, they've got a shot with anybody really in this country. I've said that before. I think they really can compete with anybody. That's the important thing. I think Jay Vidovich instills in every team he has. It's like, we can compete with anybody. Oh yeah. We lost this team 4-1, but once November comes around, we know what to do. And they've shown that the past 3 years, I mean, Elite Eights every single season, the past three seasons, and then two college cups, even though last season, it didn't end really well in terms of how they played in the regular season in the ACC tournament. They lost to Virginia on the road. I mean, they went to the NCAA tournament. They had maybe a little bit of an easier seed bracket, but hey, they beat the teams they had to. They went to the number one team. They beat Kentucky. I mean, I think they could do it. They could win the ACC title, but I mean, they can beat anybody. I think that's not being a homer. I really think they have the talent and the ability to play with anybody. I think that's why they can always be a national title contender.
And that's what's so interesting is that this team, the past 2 years, they've made it to the College Cup in the Final Four, that they didn't win the ACC that year. They might not have been considered one of the best teams in the country, one of the four best teams going into the NCAA tournament, but they get in there and they have the talent and they have that mentality that they can beat anyone. And that's what's pretty amazing is that even if they don't win the ACC, first of all, I think there's, as you said, there's a decent chance, but even if they don't, that doesn't mean, oh, it's the end of the season, because we just saw this last year. Even if Pitt in September or October doesn't look like this is a team that could win a national championship, they could turn it on in November and they just beat the teams that are in front of them and they can make yet another run. I think that's what's exciting about this team is that, yeah, even though they barely lost to Syracuse, even though they lost to Marshall, even though they lost to Georgetown, this is still a team that's loaded with talent and that mentality that they could beat any team. So they're not scared. If they play Marshall again, they're not scared of that. If they play West Virginia, they're not scared of that. Any of these top teams in the country, they're not going to intimidate the Panthers. So even though right now Pitt might not be looking like their best, they might not be ranked in the top 25, by no means can you dismiss what this team could do come postseason, both conference and NCAA.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about the rankings before. They're all just a bit, I wouldn't worry about them too much. It's like, I don't think all these college coaches really know what they're voting for. And they're just like, oh, this team's good record. All right, they'll be the number one team in the country. It's like,
right. It's not an AP top 25 where you've got national writers. Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there's not a really a big consortium of media writers that covered college soccer that could have a better idea of who's actually the top team or not. But, we have the United Soccer Coaches rankings. That's what we have. We got to take them as they are. just rankings. I mean, like I said, like Pitt wasn't really even didn't have a ranking last season. Like they got a little lucky because Portland won and they were higher ranked than Portland some way. I don't know. Neither of them had a ranking. So they were able to host that Elite Eight game. But I mean, hey, Pitt's always going to be one of those teams that's pretty good. I don't think a ranking is going to stop Jay from being like, oh no, we're not going to win this year. Oh, we don't have like home advantage the whole way through to the Final Four. Like, oh no, like that's never going to stop Jay from believing they can win. So not of the players as well, obviously.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think, and it's not as important as say volleyball. We talk about that here on Olympic Gold and Blue, whereas volleyball, the regular season, it matters even more. And being one of the very top teams in the country matters so much. And in soccer, it doesn't matter in that same way. And again, we saw last year, they made yet another run to the College Cup. So that would not at all be surprising. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment to talk about women's soccer. You're listening to Olympic Gold and Blue on the Pit Talk Network.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com.
That's BlueNile.com.
Okay, we are back here on Olympic Gold and Blue on the Pit Talk Network. I am Corey Cohen with Dominic Campbell. You can find him talking about Pitt soccer at Pittsburgh Sports Now, Pittsburgh Soccer Now. Dom, let's talk about some women's soccer. So this team, their overall record is excellent. They're 8-2-1 overall. Like the men's team, they are 1-1-1 in the ACC. Funny enough, also like the men's team, they are just outside of the rankings. I know the rankings are, they can only be worth so much. Yeah. But, like, ironically, both teams, if you look at also receiving votes, right now are slotted in at 31st. So, I don't know, it's just like a bizarre coincidence. But right now, they're both in the, what you'd say, the better teams in the country. Maybe not right at the very top, but in the mix as some of the better teams in the country. So, for women's soccer, looking at their ACC schedule thus far, they won on the road at NC State 2-0 down in the triangle. They lost at Louisville 3-2 in Kentucky. And then they had a big match coming up just a couple nights ago against Notre Dame, 10th-ranked Notre Dame. And that was a draw at home. So what have you seen thus far from the Pitt women's soccer team, Dom?
Yeah, this is the real schedule now. They're not beating teams 5-0 anymore. They're playing the best in the best of the country. So, I mean, Randy is a bit different than Jay. He likes to maybe schedule a little bit easier opponents to some extent, or just opponents that want to play. I mean, obviously there's nothing wrong with playing Duquesne and beating them 5-1. I mean, they're a local team. That's not a problem, but like he's not scheduling the best teams. But the thing is, the ACC is the best conference. I mean, you got to give your players a little bit of a rest because these teams are playing are really, really, really good. I mean, Louisville was a bit unfortunate because I think they were really in that game. I watched that game. I was like, they could have won this game, but just a few mistakes here and there. And it just didn't go their way, and just a few calls that could have gone their way that didn't. Notre Dame, close game. They both had the same amount of shots, pretty much the same amount of shots on goal. And then they got a late equalizer from Deborah Abwedon, who we spoke about her before. She played for Randy Waldrum on the Nigerian national team. So pretty good to see her score some goals. She's a midfielder, but she's very talented, and it's good to see her continuing to grow and learn how to play the, I guess, college soccer. She knows how to play in the national.
She certainly knows how to play. She played in the World Cup, and they knocked out some powerhouses.
They did pretty well. I mean, a draw against number 10 Notre Dame is not bad. I wouldn't be disappointed with that result. It's like, well, I mean, he did pretty well. I mean, I'm pretty sure Randy would have loved to get a win against his former team, but he'll take a draw, I'm pretty sure. But the team's growing. They're still very good on the attack. I mean, defensively, they've been pretty solid outside of that Louisville game. The NC State game was great. I mean, if you haven't seen that Amanda West goal she scored, I mean, talk about Amanda West and how she's the best player ever. But, I mean, that goal is just such like a moment in her illustrious career. It's just how impressive she really is. So the team's been good. I mean, they got some more tough games, but they do have three more home games in terms of the home matches, in terms of a four match homestand. So they'll have to start getting some wins at home. They got to take advantage of their home field advantage the next few games.
Absolutely. And when you look at these matches coming up for the Pitt women's soccer team, as you said, all three of them are at home, and certainly all three of them are winnable. This isn't a team. This isn't a schedule, I should say, where you've got a team that is way at the top and seems almost unbeatable. Like you could even argue Notre Dame might have seemed, even though Pitt was able to draw with them 1-1. We got a Boston College team, a team that is not particularly good this year. I don't believe they've won in the ACC yet. Duke having kind of a down year, so certainly a chance to get a win over them. That's not something that is the case every year. But again, this year, Duke just not looking their best. Wake Forest looks good, but again, far from unbeatable. So that's three matches in a row, September 30th, October 5th, October 8th. As you said, what more can you ask for when you've got three winnable games all coming up at home? Great time of year. Fans should be able to pack the stadium. It's, you know, great soccer weather, hopefully, if the rain holds off, and they can really put in a string of wins before they have a couple road trips at Syracuse, at Florida State, at Clemson. And just an interesting setup when you look ahead at these next couple matches for Pitt women's soccer.
Yeah, they got a few good teams. At Florida State matchup on the road is gonna be tough. Florida State's one of the best teams in the country. They lost to them last year in the Sweet 16 in Tallahassee. So obviously a little bit of revenge wanted, but also understanding, oh, wait, this Florida State team is actually really good. We can't just expect to beat them.
Well, and also I think it could be amazing experience. I mean, they went down last year, lost in the Sweet 16. They're going to go down this year in the regular season where a loss wouldn't kill you, but you'll have even more experience playing in a tough environment, playing against an excellent team, the kind that you could very well see in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, it's going to be an important game for those players. I mean, I know they'll be excited to go back down there and try to get a win, but yeah, they're going to have to have some good team. And I mean, Duke and Wake Forest are ranked, so that those are two games that'll be pretty good for them at home, and then October 5th and October 8th. So you want to win those because you only have one more home game after that, 26th of October at home. That's the final home game of the season on a Thursday. So three more home games, three more away games, then a final home match to settle the regular season again. Almost only one more month. It's like, now we're going to the postseason already.
I know, it's wild how fast.
It's probably a bit nuts.
Yeah, it's wild how fast this season has gone. But again, just that big opportunity coming up with three winnable games. The best is still probably Duke, but again, sort of a down year and certainly beatable. So a great opportunity for them. Before we wrap things up, you mentioned Amanda West. Her career has been insane. How great she's been. How has she looked this year compared to the other years that she's played for the Panthers?
Well, you got to be happy she's healthy this year. I mean, last year she started off pretty well, but then suffered a season-ending injury, which obviously was not something you want to see out of one of your best players. So having her back for this year has been important, I think, because it really gives the team a chance to do something in the NCAA tournament. I don't think they have to be like, well, maybe we'll make the Sweet 16 again, or maybe we'll try and get an Elite Eight. It's like, oh, we can just compete with anybody. I think, again, you have Randy Waldrum, a national title winning head coach. I mean, again, like that's the whole thing about Pitt soccer, both programs, having those coaches and having players like Amanda West and Philip Mirkovic, but just having those players and they're going to be the difference makers. And she has been again this season. I think she's been great when I've seen her play, and she's obviously scored that great goal against NC State, like I just said. And as long as she's healthy and she's playing as your main striker, main attacker, I mean, she's fearless. She's incredibly athletic, incredibly built to play soccer. She's great stamina, great like a workhorse essentially. She keeps running, she'll keep going, and that's what you want out of your main attacker essentially as a head coach. And I don't think Randy Waldrum could ask for anything else other than just scoring more goals for Amanda West, and always get some more goals.
Yeah, you could always have some more. I believe she's got six thus far, but you can always take some more. Yeah, you can just score some more. Before we go, in terms of the eye test, what you've seen thus far from Pitt women's soccer, I sort of asked a similar question with men's soccer. Is this a team that you think could make a run in the ACC tournament, could make a run in the NCAA tournament? Does this team seem like they could perhaps take that next step in the way that Pitt men's soccer has, or are they still kind of building?
Well, I mean, I don't think anyone expected Pitt men's soccer to make the final four in the COVID season. I mean, they just come off of making the NCAA tournament for the first time in 54 years and in 2019 from 1965. So, I mean, like, who knows? I mean, I think they can. I don't see why not. I mean, they have the experience after last season. Like, you know, last year was their first rodeo, so to speak, because it was the first time they've ever made the NCAA tournament as a program. So, but this year, why not just say, hey, we've been here before. We know what to do. We played in the best conference in the country. Why can't we compete with anybody else? These teams might seem like they're great, but like we can be great too. Why can't we compete with them? And listen, if you can compete in the ACC, you can do decently in the ACC tournament. I think they can compete with anybody. And they showed that last year. And really, I think they can do it again. It's just, can they compete with the best of the best? Like, how do they do against Florida State? How do they do against, like, if they face North Carolina in the ACC tournament, how do they do against them? Those are things I'm looking at to determine if this team is like national title contenders or just a little bit below that. But I mean, I can't complain either way. I mean, compared to what this program has been before, I mean, right now this is the best ever. This is the best ever this program's ever been. So no complaints here.
Yeah, it's been incredible. And you're absolutely right. With Pitt Volleyball, there was no, oh, this team is right there. They just showed up and they just became a perennial contender. As you said, with Pitt men's soccer, they just showed up and they are now a perennial contender. And with Pitt women's soccer, they've been knocking on the door the last couple of years. There's a decent chance this year they could just show up. And even last year, as you said, if they don't run into Florida State, maybe they make a deeper run. They could have made it to the Final Four last year. It's just you play the teams in front of you. Florida State's phenomenal, and they had to play them in Tallahassee. So we'll see what happens this year. But maybe something odd happens where they get a slightly more favorable bracket, they make a run, and all of a sudden you're talking about women's soccer now in the same breath with men's soccer and how they've got their own Final Four run. So it really is amazing, the state of both programs at this point and what this athletic department has been able to do. I know personally, I was a student. I graduated back in 2015, and both programs were kind of an afterthought. And now for people for people going to the games, general fans, for people who cover the team, that this is one of the top teams in the country on both ends, and how amazing that is for Pitt fans to have that in this incredible sport that continues to grow every single day.
Yeah, I mean, you graduated in 2015, 2020 myself, so just seeing the teams grow and like witnessing that first NCAA tournament for Pitt men's soccer covering, that was wild, just to see like, wow, this team's actually a good team, actually can play. Like, even volleyball as well. I mean, volleyball didn't start to become really good until when I started to go to school, and they finally made the NCAA tournament. They started going back to that, and then even more recently, now they're even better after I graduated. So, I mean, students have so many options to go see great non-revenue sports. And hey, the football team's gonna be as bad as it is.
Yeah,
you might as well go watch something else. We got three great teams this fall. You got some good teams in the winter, I'm assuming, with the men's basketball and women's basketball as a new head coach, and you got wrestling coming back. So, I mean, listen, if football's not good, it's not the end of the world. Pitt has other good programs.
Absolutely, without a doubt. That's what we're going to be talking here on Olympic Gold and Blue. Pitt might not be a football school anymore. It's it's a football school, or
and a volleyball
in German, and a volleyball school. But yeah, definitely volleyball and soccer carrying the torch for the Pitt Panthers, and boy, do they need it. It's certainly been exciting. Dominic Campbell, please tell people where they can find you, follow you, check out your stuff.
Yeah, I'm always writing on Pittsburgh Sports Now with Pitt football, Pitt volleyball. I cover them, and I'll be covering Pitt women's basketball. They just started practice this week, and Pitt wrestling as well starts in November. So lots of new sports coming this way. And then obviously for Pittsburgh Soccer Now, I do Pitt men's soccer and Pitt women's soccer there. So just stay tuned to those sites. You'll see my name on some articles here and there, and see the rest of the site, and you'll see all the work we've been doing. So yeah, just catch us there.
Yeah, really exciting stuff. Again, two great programs, and just so much happening right now when it comes to Pitt sports, especially in volleyball, in soccer, these Olympic sports that the Panthers are really thriving in. Dominic Campbell, thank you so much for joining us on this episode. We will be back next week, and moving forward, we're going to be talking about Pitt volleyball, about Pitt men and women's soccer, and covering these phenomenal teams as they make these runs toward the end of the regular season and into the postseason. Wherever you're listening to this podcast, please follow, subscribe to Pitt Talk Network so that you can get the episodes delivered right to you. Again, Pitt Talk Network, just follow, subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll be back later this week with Panthers Pathway with Austin Bechtold. Another episode of Football Unscripted next week. Olympic Gold and Blue always coming at you. And keep it right here for all things Pitt Sports on the Pitt Talk Network. He's Dominic Campbell. I'm Corey Cohen, signing off. Until next time.